Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Video Game Bang Podcast. We have a great show lined up for you this week. We are talking a lot about the Facebook purchase of Oculus Rift, and we have a special guest interview with Michael John Mollo. You have definitely heard this man's work, from Pawn Stars to Rio to How to Train Your Dragon, and now more recently, he is the composer between Double Helix's remake of Strider. Stick around for this week's Video Game Bang. You won't regret it. All that and more on this week's episode of Video Game Bang.
Video Game Bang.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real.
I don't get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He could play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
What is up, pizzas? This is Corey Vincent here with the Video Game Bang. Game all day, bang all night, as we like to say around here. Video Game Bang is because I got some looks. I got some looks when I did that one. I didn't have to look at you guys to know.
Keep going through those slogans.
Well, we're trying to come up with slogans, people. I'm just going to give you the rundown. So expect a new slogan each week. This week's is Game All Day, Bang All Night. VGB is presented to you by NerdReactor.com. Harnessing geek power.
That's their slogan?
Yeah.
Is that their official slogan?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
I actually took the time to learn it.
Wow. After 17 episodes that we're in, you got a call there?
It's my cousin's birthday, and... Just shut up.
Let's bring him on the call. Just bring him to say happy birthday.
Why don't you give the birthday shout out right now?
Amber, if you're listening to this podcast, I just want to say happy birthday.
And if Jerry Panericon's listening to it, happy birthday to you too, sir.
No, it's not his birthday.
That's what Facebook said.
Aww. That's what Facebook told me, yeah.
Harnessing geek power. We are available to you to listen to. If you're listening to us right now, that's good. If you have a friend that you've tried to pitch it to and they're like, I don't like it unless it's on iTunes. And you could say, hey, they're on iTunes, as well as SoundCloud, Stitcher, Player.fm, which is new, and of course, the illustrious Zune Marketplace.
Illustrious. All of four people, yeah.
I have a Zune.
See?
Yeah, all of four people.
And if you could rate us, like us, subscribe to us on any of those, it really helps us out. And we could use all the help we can get, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
A little help from our friends.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Just like the Beatles said. Joining
is that
me.
That song?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
See, I'm Wonder Years. I know.
No, that's the other version.
What's his name? Yeah, that's the only guy I know.
I'm
going
to fail if I can't name him.
That's terrible. I don't know him. I couldn't
tell
him.
I should be able to.
I didn't hear what you were
saying. The Wonder Years theme song?
What'd you do?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
The best version?
No, I don't.
So the Beatles sung that originally?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's way different.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll come up with it later. Or if you just tweet it to me, that'd be cool.
Wow. Okay.
Joining me as always, Aaron Carter. You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it.
Wow. Now we're about to get sued.
Men's
up,
warehouse.
Everybody?
That's been come up with?
Yeah, sure. He's probably at your front door right now in a suit.
He sounds like Batman anyways.
You're going to like the way this
you're
small
like
suit.
The way you look.
There was actually a falling out and he doesn't work for them anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
That's their face. How do you lose the face of your
know,
company?
Right?
I guarantee it.
Wow.
Also with us is David, melt in your mouth, not in your hands, Ing.
I don't endorse that.
Wow.
But hello, everyone.
You are 0-3 so far now.
I really worked hard on these guys.
Wow.
I'd appreciate if you not make fun of them.
Wow.
And finally, joining us, last but not least, probably second to least.
Wow.
Aaron is definitely the last one.
Whew.
Dodge
the
bullet. No, it wouldn't be David. David's just sporting an awesome mohawk by now.
I'm just waiting on this,
yeah.
There's an extra line after the name.
No, it's just Jada.
Wow.
No, I have one for Jada. It's Jada. Can you hear me now? Good. Rena.
So, today's episode, everybody.
You don't even... Oh, yeah, you do have notes in front of
you. Yeah.
You could tell everybody what's going on. but you won't. I just want to go around and say, if you haven't already, go to nerdreactor.com for a friend. Just go look at it for us. We have articles coming. We're going to be doing a little appearance at a con in Oakland.
We're doing the booth?
No.
We're not going to have our own booth?
No, we don't get our own booth.
You couldn't get that...
I couldn't get that one set up.
John Wen? You couldn't get that sliding, John?
Come on,
John. We could pitch in and get one.
Yeah.
It's probably like $50 or something.
Everything has a price, Aaron.
One guy. I've been waiting for you guys to do your own booth.
We could record an episode live, though. Imagine all the fan participation.
That'd be awesome.
All the fan participation.
That's exactly what I said. Thank you for repeating that.
So, we will be at Kraken Con. We like to call it What's Kraken Con.
It needs to be called
Release
that.
The Kraken Con.
Release the Kraken Con. We will be there with bells on, I promise. So look for people with bells. Not Richard Bell, though.
I might actually have a bell on.
Really?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about cosplaying when I have stuff to do. Because we're going to be all over the place in panels.
I don't feel like cosplaying when I don't have stuff to do.
That's true.
Well, I got the rest of my costume in, so yeah. I'm ready.
So are you a legit cosplayer now all of a sudden? What's going on?
You know, it's something I've always wanted to do, and after doing it at Sacramento Wizard Con, I'm loving it. So I got the next costume. We'll have it Kraken Con. We'll have pictures, and then, you know, I'm not going to say what my next project is, but I've got a couple of ideas brewing in my brain.
That'll be the next
next project is Ryan Fry.
Let's see,
bleach scanning is what you're gonna have to do.
I've actually got a pretty cool gender swap one I'm doing. It's gonna be awesome.
I have to let you guys know, I'd only be honest in letting you know, we do have an awesome interview coming at the second half of the show with Michael John Mallow. While you're listening to this, go ahead IMDb this man. You will be impressed. You've definitely heard his work, whether it was in TV shows like Pawn Stars or movies like Rio and How to Train Your Dragon. But he is here talking about Strider, the remake that recently came out on the Xbox One, PS4, 360, and PS3. So check that out. But first, we're going to play a little boom, 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 boom. What you playing?
I didn't have the music cue.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
That's terrible.
What you playing?
Yeah.
What you playing?
I'm sorry, guys. Aaron, what you playing?
Terra.
Oh, God.
Online. Yes.
I'm going to take this moment to cut you off.
Level 20.
I'm going to cut you off.
Wow.
I'm
going to
cut you off. I'm cutting you
I'm
off right now.
Going.
No,
gonna
no it's going to help you in the long run.
60.
Okay.
Aaron, if you want to hear a lot more about Terra Online, go to our last episode, The Weekend Bang.
Wow.
And that's basically all about
that's it. That's not all I'm playing.
We had an awesome interview on that one with Zach Truscott, but the whole first half is dedicated solely
it's
to Terra
dedicated.
Online.
It's dedicated to MMOs. I'm also playing League of Legends, of course, practicing up on that. What else am I playing?
We got to play a round or two of
Guns of Icarus.
Zeppelin game.
Guns of Icarus. Yeah, awesome game. Our first match that, or actually our second match that I ever played, this is before you got online. It was just me, Jerry, and Steven. We killed. We like, as once we got the controls and what we were supposed to do, we did very well.
I'm surprised at you. I'm kind of angry at you because, you are using keyboard and mouse
because
when the game is completely functional with
the controller. I tried to map out the controller like a normal first-person shooter, and I can't. Unless somebody knows out there how to figure out how to map it out, because I'll gladly use it that way. But it's like three sets of controls, you know, for the guns, the piloting, and then walking around. So it's kind of hard to map it out for each one because they change as soon as your role changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
Bum-bum.
Primarily on being a pilot, so, I mean...
Is this signaling the change of Aaron Carter to
I think it
PC
really
gamer?
Is.
It's, I talked about this when I was online the other night, too. And I was like, I don't the evolution of me from console to PC
a couple hungry, a couple
it's
lowly.
Not,
couple
it's,
hundred.
Not a, it's not an instant change. I didn't
it's
just immediately
not.
Go to PC. It's a gradual thing.
So I task this to you, Microsoft and Sony. Bring me back.
It took like 100 angry nerds, PC guys that all work at Dell, to yell at you at Twitter.
I could be
make you switch to PC.
All it really took was him buying a...
Yeah.
No, because it's been before exactly. that. He got into League before on his laptop before. He
I could just be a Trojan guy. Horse.
I think.
Could be trying to bring him down from the inside out.
Talking about Trojans inside out, it's
yep.
time to move on to David Ng before this really gets nasty. David Andrew Ng is my childhood best friend, and every once in a while he comes in rocking this giant mohawk. And what made you go back to the mohawk, David?
I like the mohawk. It makes me feel like I just embrace my I don't give a fuck kind of attitude, which I need more of in my life.
That's true. He's a very straight-laced guy, you know, so this is his act of rebellion. What have you been playing, though?
I've been playing League of Legends and trying to get into Dungeon Defender, but it's tough to play because none of you guys want to play it.
Wow.
And then, playing online, you just get the people who cheat and, like, have these ridiculous weapons that deal, like, 5 million damage per second.
Really? Cheaters.
Oh, and yet another reason to not like that game.
No, you gave it one chance.
I
like,
love
literally.
Dungeon Defenders.
I only got one chance. What? Wow. What's your rule with comedians?
They get three jokes.
Yep.
You didn't give it three chances.
It doesn't matter. It takes one solid round with really good friends, too. And wasn't fun.
He did the first level.
Oh, that's
and
a
he
terrible.
Played with, like, the squire. And that's it.
You have
so
to,
you saw
you
no
have
upgrades.
Yeah.
You saw no...
I didn't even care to look into upgrades.
You
got
to hit up to level 10
care.
At least so
I
you can
I played
start
the
using towers.
I felt the mechanics. The game didn't connect with me. I looked at that game, and I looked at all the other games I have in my library, and I was like, this is not...
I've started three characters already.
Do you like tower defense at
nope.
all? Well, yeah.
Hate it.
If you don't like tower defense, yeah, you're not going to like Dungeon Defenders.
But see, Dungeon Defenders doesn't even feel like a tower defense to me. Any game,
it's more action.
Yeah,
oriented.
Any game that
it's
I can...
I'd much rather... I have Plants vs. Zombies on the Xbox One. I'd play a million times over this one.
It's a totally different game.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
They're actually pretty close to each other. Because Plants vs. Zombies, you can set towers and plants and stuff like that.
What
so.
I played from... It seemed like
we
it
just
was,
played... Me and Aaron just played the multiplayer.
Yeah, we just played... Mm-hmm. Is that... So you said
I played with David, and we did a tower defense.
Yeah,
version.
Well, it's
oh,
not.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
But that was the other one where we were so early level that we couldn't even put towers down. It
yeah,
was like,
you have to get
doing.
The cards or whatnot. So that's the one drawback. You can't just like use money. You have to buy cards to it.
Play it again.
Yeah,
maybe.
Play it again, Sam.
Let's see. We got David. David, were you finished?
Yes, I'm done.
That's all you've played?
Yeah, just those two right now.
That's it.
Are
it's
you
the
sure?
mohawk.
Yes.
It's the mohawk. That's
He's
all you're
got
getting.
This I don't give a crap attitude, and it's scaring me, guys.
Corey's going to lose it. Corey's going to lose a friend.
Jada, what have you been playing?
Mostly Final Fantasy X-2 HD Remix. Loving it. Beautiful graphics. Great way of bringing it back. And then League of Legends just got my gold ranking back. So supported. 9 games straight. Got my gold ranking back doing support role.
We should also mention that... yeah, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Second of all, they brought back the team builder.
Yeah.
And it's not a beta anymore.
No, it's full.
It should have been there day one.
I love it. No,
one.
I agree. It's something I've been talking about with all my other fellow League players since 2010. I was like, why can't I just pick a character, pick a role I want to go, and then it match me with the people that want to do their roles.
And everybody has a chance to like, are we going to agree to this team? Yes, no, yes. Yeah. And then some people back out and other people are like, let's roll.
Adam Palsy, if you're listening... You're welcome. That's all I'm saying.
I think the big thing is that early into League, the queues were always already pretty high. So they were trying to, you know, this is a much longer queue. It takes much longer to get into a match with Team Builder.
Really? Because we
kind of
got
depends.
In.
Yeah, it depends on what you
want
to play.
Depends on how picky you want to get.
Yeah.
You could get super specific on what roles you want. You could say, I want a tank jungler or something. And
well,
then
like, there's a lot of people who, you know, I had played a game. I had a Malzahar who's a mid. I had one of them jungle the other day. You know, if you pick Malzahar to go into a jungle, you're probably going to be waiting in queue for
a little
while.
You're going
to
have a bad time.
Maybe because I don't look at it. I don't look at it like that. I pick my role, and then whoever is playing with me, they pick their roles. And then when I go to search for random people, I don't care what they do. You're just another warrior on my side.
Just a number to me.
So, when you know, do your job that you say that you can do, and we'll be fine.
That's the thing, though.
Like, if you're not... If you're not focused on the meta,
uh-huh.
then you don't have an issue with that. But if you're really focused on the meta, then you're like, oh, you can't play that character in that role. Yeah. You're going to fail.
Definitely not.
GG, everybody. GG.
Exactly.
And see, I don't have a problem with people breaking the meta. It's just, you know, make sure you practice it before you go to rank. Mm. Don't just bring that the first time. It's like, oh, I saw somebody on a stream do that. I can do it. No. This person's been practicing that for weeks to months.
Okay, and it's my turn. What have I been playing? I definitely played less League than I have been. Aaron and I had an epic battle last night. That was probably built our friendship back up.
It
was teetering for a while.
convinced me a little bit more on League, that game. And we weren't even, like, I wasn't dominating or anything like that, but it just felt like I... Got it.
You're finally accustomed to it, and it's natural now.
Yeah, and it maybe it was because we were playing with people around our level, and
Yeah, I think it was the most competitive, evenly matched game we've had.
And like, I never, even though we seemed like we were losing at points, it was like, don't quit. No, we can.
We denied the quit twice, didn't we? And still came back.
I never surrender.
Never surrender.
And it was awesome because it was like, I can tell when I'm playing against a bad player. Because I would do moves with Yasuo, who is, you know, the only character you should play. And normally, the higher ranked people, when we're playing with higher ranked people, they would just take me out. But then I'd be like, oh, you know, I got away with that. I can't believe that.
I like how you get taken out and you still try it every time.
Yeah, I do. It's insanity.
It's going to work eventually one of these times, right? That's why my favorite move is I call it the circle juke. And you just run in a circle. It actually works. You run in and out of sight. It's crazy. Like, it doesn't work always, but sometimes it works.
I had my first ever mirror match. I had another fiddle jungle on the opposite team, and I thoroughly smashed him.
That guy was horrible.
Yeah, he was probably the worst one on the team. But I'd seen all the mistakes he made, and I was like, yep, I've done that.
He ulted me, and I stood in the ult like, is this happening right now? Because you were like, run. And I'm like, why? My AP is still extremely high. And then I just sliced him to death. And
he's healing you.
No, he was trying to drain.
Yeah, but I'm saying the point of it might as well be.
And then Kha'Zix came and killed me after that. But
Kha'Zix's got to be one of the most overused players right now.
Is he free?
He's super popular right now. He's actually he's one of the higher bans in ranked right now. So.
That's why he was in every match that we played yesterday.
Every match.
He's the flavor of the week right now.
So, other than that, I played a little Guns of Icarus. I'm not completely sold on that, but I got to, like, chew through it so that we can do well for our little charity event coming up. Do we have a date on that?
They had to postpone it because there's another Guns of Icarus tournament that's at the same time that they wanted to do theirs. If you just go to PSC, what is it? Oh, crap, I already forgot the website.
We'll come back to it.
Yeah. They have the update information. But I told the guy who's running it, I was like, that's perfect. We get more time to practice because we definitely need that.
And we will be partnered up with YouTubers, friends of ours, Under Inspired Games.
Yep, they're going to be our second ship in the sky.
So you can check them out on YouTube, Under Inspired Games. They take your topics, a little show called Save Point.
Awesome show.
Enough commercials for other people. All right. So I think that's it. We're going to get into some news, and we don't have a news theme song yet. Kyle McGuire, if you're listening, get us our music for the news.
For the 70th time, he's probably like, yeah, whatever, guys.
First big piece of news. I think this is going to take up a chunk of our time, honestly. Facebook buys Oculus for $2 billion.
Initially, I didn't think anything of this. I read the headline, you know, what it came out a couple of days ago or so.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then when you told me what Zucks is what you like to call him.
Yeah. My friend Zuck.
What he planned or like, you know, had a little inkling of showing you where he could go with it. I mean, you might as well just give me a one now, you know, take my money.
Zuckerberg did a little blog post shortly after the purchase happened or the announcement. And I'm going to take a little sample out here for you. After games, we're going to make Oculus a platform for many other experiences. Imagine enjoying a courtside seat at a game, studying in a classroom of students and teachers all over the world, or consulting with a doctor face-to-face, just by putting on goggles in your home. The Zuck.
My question is, if we're doing the courtside seats at a game, do I have to pay?
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to pay for any of these services. Yeah.
That's the most epic thing in the world right there. Like, I can't get to Italy tomorrow to go watch a Serie A game. So let me strap on the whole Oculus Rift and I'm, you know, center line looking all around at the game and stuff like that. Like, that's amazing.
That is actually pretty cool.
The classroom kind of confused me at first, and I'm like, we do that kind of already.
Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's an option in some classes.
But I thought, just literally right now, what about like a medical school, and they're working on a cadaver, and you couldn't be there, and they're like, hey, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely lab time where you're going to have to be present to do things, but you could do lectures and things.
It's cool. It's definitely an idea that's a $1 million idea. Zuck has done it again. And he's going to get sued somehow, and we're going to get another movie, part two.
Well, this is like, when I was reading his blog post, I just kept like having these thoughts of like, wow, this is probably what it was like when I was a kid. I don't know how old Aaron was. Aaron's dirt old. But when I was a kid, and there was people reading articles about this young Bill Gates character coming up and creating Microsoft, it's just like, I think when I'm reading Zuckerberg stuff, it's like, this guy's going to be a legend of our lifetime. If he already is, honestly, but.
But, I mean, yeah, the only reason why I downplay his genius, he probably is a genius, you know, computer science and math and all that, you know, type of stuff. But the ideas are kind of just anybody could have thought of that.
Well, honestly, you know, here we go. We say anybody could have thought of that. Yeah, but we've known about Oculus for a year now, at least years. And not one of us thought to I know I didn't. And I don't think you did because of how surprised you were when I mentioned the courtside game. But not one of us said, oh, we should. That would be awesome to do a courtside at anywhere.
But we were focused. I think I know for me, at least I'll speak for me. Since they marketed it as a video game type of thing, that's what I was focused on, the different type of things you can do with it as a video game device. I don't think he comes from that world of video games, you know, social media, media probably in general.
Right.
So he's thinking that. He's like, he saw the tool, and he's throwing, you know, media on. So he saw something that's cool, and he's like, let me see, you know, how I can put something that I'm an expert in into this. So anybody else in the media world probably could have came up with that idea too, but I'm looking at it as a video game standpoint, you know, the cool things you could do with that.
It's a brand new, old, like input for sensory. It's going to be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder since they did buy this, are they just cutting video games out of this altogether now?
No, he says after games.
Okay.
So it's going to be games, but like, one of the things, some of the fallout, I kind of want to cover some of the fallout. We had Notch from Minecraft.
Uh-huh.
They were working on implementing a virtual reality interface to Minecraft. They were going to use Oculus and do that.
Yeah.
But Notch, like, immediately after the thing, tweets out saying that, oh, looks like we're not working with Oculus no more because Facebook creeps me out.
What?
And that's a lot of the feedback has been negative about this. A lot of people think that, you know, I don't want to say everyone's surprised because, you know, literally everything has a price. But a lot of angry people bitching about how much they hate that Oculus is going to Facebook on Facebook.
That's, what, are they expecting like a virtual world of Facebook or something now? You just strap it on and look around at your friends?
People are always complaining about Facebook, though.
But for what? The only thing I have a complaint about Facebook is maybe the advertisements now, and then the people always trying to add me for games that I don't want to play. But besides Facebook, I mean, besides all that, Facebook seems to be fine. I mean, I don't use it that much, but I like how we have separate groups. I'm not even mainly on the main page too much anymore.
I think these people are... I don't want to go out and start labeling them because I'm sure there's some listening here.
Label them.
I don't want to call them tinfoil hatters.
Tinfoil hatters. You heard it first. Se. Corey Vinson calling you tinfoil hatters.
No. But
I will admit to being one of those, though, because I have yet to update my Facebook app on my phone because the update says that it wants to have permission to, like, activate the camera and record me and stuff without my confirmation in the future. So I refuse to update it.
I think that's the thing. And Facebook has got to be the largest database of just like all human life.
Well, we already know it's run by the FBI. It's a conspiracy to know everything about your life, plant evidence on you, mainly black people.
wow.
I'm just saying,
Facebook is reaching into your pocket to plant cocaine.
They don't need the internet for that.
I'm just saying. And then the police are the ground troops. This is Star Wars all over again, people. That's exactly what this is.
Jada, you've been quiet over there.
Knows the truth. That's what that is.
I've been forced to keep silent on the matter.
Exactly. Facebook has an NDA on her mouth saying, no talking about us. This is positive. I don't know what craziness, like, I don't know if they're thinking, oh, well, they're going to put on the Facebook Oculus Rift and then they're going to send some signal and control my brain. But the sports thing alone, if they just gave me that, I don't need Oculus Rift for anything else. I want to be center, you know, field looking at European games that I can't get to.
I brought this question up. Aaron is a synonymous cheap ass. All of us on this podcast, outside of probably Jada, are very budget conscious. Mm-hmm. And I asked Aaron, how much would you pay to sit sideline via Oculus at the World Cup? And I just shot out 100, totally expecting you to say no, and you said yes.
Oh, yeah.
$100?
It's the World Cup.
I would do $100.
Like, it's the World Cup.
This is like if you had to buy the ticket to go and you have to buy the peripheral separate still.
I'm still, yeah.
Okay.
$500, $600 Oculus Rift, $100 for the... Yeah, I'm finding a way to get to that World Cup because... Now, if you're talking about, oh, it's $100 a game, because you know there's a crazy amount of games in the World Cup. But if they're like, you have your season pass here, and then, you know, you can pick and choose what games you want to go to or whatever, and that's the price, here's the package, I'm in.
How much does a ticket cost normally?
For the World Cup?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea. It's in Brazil. I don't.
The overhead, you know, that would be all profit, you'd think. You know, it'd just be the cost of the equipment and the and streaming and yeah. broadcasting, all that. But, it, you know, especially with the World Cup worldwide, how many people that would draw.
It's yeah.
It's a whole new it's revenue crazy. Stream.
I was thinking, like, UFC. I would kill to be cage side watching a fight through. You know, and you could turn around and look at the a-hole like just flipping off the
just
camera
think
the
they
whole
have
night.
Cameras all around the octagon, just on the top and on the sides if you want to get can. And then you're just controlling which angle you're looking from and then all around. Like, you're there. You're in there. I mean, they've already done something similar. Well, not something similar, but they've already gone as far in football, where they put the camera right above the field because they want you to get that closer into the game, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's like Oculus Rift. They just put you, they'll put you literally, right? And technology is getting better and more, the visuals are more clear with the, you know, what we have with the cameras and everything like that. It's like you're going to be there. That 4K TV that they show on display in Fry's, they play a soccer game in there. And it looks like you're sitting in the stands. Like, it looks that real. So I'm like, we get that with Oculus Rift. It's like you're there. You got the sights, the sounds all in your head. I'm down to pay for that.
With all the people complaining about the purchase, and, you know, you can call them sellouts or whatever you want, but the Oculus people who have spoken up have been expressed a lot of excitement for the purchase. They're saying that one of the major benefits to being, because it's not like they fired everybody. They're all still with Oculus, mm-hmm. you know, all the top dogs, and they said that it's going to avoid some embarrassing scaling issues. Yeah, because when things scale and there's a lot of product awareness and a lot of finances that go into making a product. Because right now, Oculus Rift has been amazing to us. But outside of that, if you ask your mother, you know, what's Oculus Rift? She'd say, I don't know. But what they're saying is that Oculus Rift is going to be everywhere. It's going to be like the telephone.
I think it's great. Mm. You know, I think the Facebook buying them out gives them that budget now where they can go bigger. They can dream bigger now with Oculus Rift, where they might have been felt limited or restricted because they were kind of smaller before. So I think gives them more room to expand.
Before we jump, are you guys all good with Oculus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone
move
awesome,
on. Potentially
say,
dangerous.
Say
awesome.
I.
Wow.
I.
All right. So I just want to cover this before the break, before we get to Michael John Mollo. Goat Simulator trailer. Did you guys see this?
I just watched
it. I watched
it,
yes.
Is this a phenomenon? Is it internet fad? What's going on here?
It's a new quirky game. It'll hit a couple of people. Yeah, it actually might do very well.
There's articles saying it's going to be the best game in the world.
I don't know about all that, but it looks fun. It looks very fun, actually.
I went to one of the more pretentious people of the computer world, gaming world, just to kind of ask them on Twitter. So what do you think? Is this just well-advertised garbage, or is this just going to be like a, you know, kind of more of a kitschy, actually awesome game? And he says that he's heard from people that it's really fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to
kind of maybe making fun of some of those really terrible simulators that are out there.
Yeah, it could be just a joke thing. I don't see it winning like game of the year, but it's gonna be fun.
David, have you seen this, heard of it?
I saw the trailer. I don't see myself buying it. I would maybe try it for like an hour, but then I'd probably be done.
It seems like it's marketed to PewDiePie.
Who the hell is that?
PewDiePie, the crazy popular streamer on YouTube. Why are people looking at me like they don't know what I'm talking about?
Because I've never heard
no
of
idea what you're talking about.
Jada.
No.
Oh my gosh. We have the only gamers who've never heard of PewDiePie, apparently.
That person plays games?
YouTuber, like from the Netherlands or something, that plays games and screams really obnoxiously.
It sounds familiar now.
It sounds like I wouldn't watch it.
Yeah.
It's
like
totally not
to
my thing either, but it seems like it was just built for that guy to play and scream and record and stream for comedy. Well,
yeah. Let's,
Yeah. We'll be back with Michael John Mollo after the break. Stick around for more Video Game Bang. All right, and welcome back to Video Game Bang. And we have a special super duper guest for you. He is probably, what are you most well known for?
Well, in this week, I'm most well known for Strider, which is doing fairly well. But, you know, Strider's actually my first game. I come from the film and TV world.
There, you heard his voice. His name is Michael John Mollo. Did I say that right?
You did say that right. Congratulations.
It's usually my thing to screw up people's names, and it's unintentional.
Until John Travolta stole that.
Until John Travolta stole my lightning.
They're related.
Michael, you have, like, of all the people we've talked to, you have the most impressive IMDb page.
Uh-oh.
It is a monster. I think you have a very impressive page, and a lot of shows that I know people listening to this have heard of, including Pawn Stars, Cajun Pawn Stars, like a lot of TV stuff. How did you get into this world?
Well, you know, when I grew up, I always wanted to be a rock star. So I, you know, I learned the guitar, and you know, it was always impressed upon me at an early age that I should probably go to college too. So, you know, when I tried to merge the two, I had to kind of make heads or tails of it. So I fell into music composition. And then, you know, most of the cats in the music composition, at least academia, are sort of gearing themselves to go, you know, right back into academia and, you know, be professors. But I knew that wasn't a thing for me. I'm a crap teacher. So I thought, you know, how else am I going to survive, you know, as a musician? You know, I'm a decent player, but, you know, I'm not going to, you know, rock anybody's world with, you know, my guitar skills. So what can I do to sort of carve a niche for myself? And I thought, bam, you know, there's music in everything. There's music in film, there's music in TV, music in games. So that's how I fell into it.
Looking at the impressive resume, there's a lot of shows we've heard of. Strider musically seems quite different than a lot of the stuff we hear out of you.
Yeah, it was a kind of a left turn. I mean, I guess not totally, but you know, it was very specific sound that we needed for the game. So I'm glad that I got to do it first off, and I'm glad that we got to sort of really be true to the original Strider roots.
That's where I wanted to go next. Where was the line between copying and like a tribute and updated like new feel for it? How did you draw that line? Where did you get the inspiration to do that?
Well, you know, it's tough, man, because Strider's got such a back catalog and such a legacy. You know, the guys at Double Helix felt really, really strong about keeping as much of the intensity and the pacing of the music, you know, from the original games, and especially some of the tunes as well. So we did a lot of sort of study. I mean, you can get all these old tunes on YouTube. You know, if you just sort of search around, you know, you can find actual gameplays of the original NES and then the other one too, Strider 2, that came out. So we, you know, we spent a good amount of time going through and listening and picking the tunes we wanted to do. And then once we had the list, you know, their big thing was, you know, it sounds great for that game, but the new game that we were making is very modern. It's 2.5D, you know, so it's got great spatial aspects to it. So, you know, my charge was to really create music that could live and breathe in the 21st century, but really adhering to the core principles that made Strider unique. You know, the sound is very Japanese. It's very Japanese sound for the game. You know, and rightly so, because the original composer obviously was Japanese, as was the Strider title. So, mm-hmm. You know, balancing those two, that was the biggest trick. But I got a lot of really good feedback from the guys at Double Helix, and you know, they guided me.
Well, just for some proof to know I'm not completely blowing smoke, actually, it was myself and Jada that reviewed Strider. We got an early copy of it. Played and reviewed it, and one of the high points that we both noted and wrote it down, so you can go to nerdreactor.com for proof, is that the soundtrack is awesome.
I'm glad you feel that way.
It was a definite highlight for the game. What do you think, and do you, first of all, are you a gamer?
You know what? I'm not a hardcore gamer. I'm a casual gamer. I play a little bit here and there. I played a lot when I was real young. And then when I kind of got into music, I fell off a little bit. But I've come back to it, you know, in the last couple of years, you know. And I'm certainly, you know, I'm keeping up the consoles. I just bought the PS4 and, you know, waiting for some really cool titles to come out with that. But I'm not, you know, I'm not playing every day. I got little kids, so.
Yeah. So in what you know of gaming, for a musically trained person, how important, how do you weigh the importance of a solid soundtrack to a game? And you could, in like a percentage.
Oh, you know, I mean, how, what percentage is it important to have a really cool soundtrack? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I mean, I think music really helps. I mean, I would say it helps, but it really, really tells a story. So if you've got a really good story in your game, I would say, you know, at least 50%, man. It's visuals and audio. That's what we're working with. We're working with our eyes and we're working with our ears. You can't smell a video game. You can't taste it. You're getting better on the being able to feel it, you know, with mm-hmm. the shock controllers and whatnot. But for me, you know, and maybe this is just the musical standpoint, but 50% for me is video, 50% is audio. But that includes, you know, the dialogue and the sound effects and stuff like that.
You've worked on, like, a lot of different areas. Like, do you have, like, a signature in all your movies? Because you have movies,
yeah,
film,
so
and
that's a very
video
good
games. Is there, like, your little stamp where, you know, this is Mahlo's work?
Is there an Easter egg that you throw in each one that we can know this is a Mahlo joint, people?
Like, oh, yeah,
well,
I know this
one. Well, you know, I've got a couple of, you know, standby sort of techniques and whatnot. But I, you know, I'm a big proponent of using real instruments, but also, you know, treating real instruments as one part of the palette and treating synths as the other part of the palette. And I mean, if there's anything that's my signature, I try and do that on each project.
Awesome. So I was just curious. So I was looking through your IMDb and it shows that you have like a, you know, all these different TV shows and stuff. Is it normal for composers to do just like, you know, a couple episodes here and there? Is it just because they have?
Yeah. You know, we kind of get hired on either by the production company or sometimes there's libraries that these companies will pull from. So I work with some of these libraries and they'll call me and be like, hey, you know, Pawn Stars has got however many new episodes. They need, you know, 6 to 10 new tracks. So, and then I'll, you know, take a week or two and fire those off and they'll get used in that season. And maybe we'll do it again for the next season. So it's, that's how the TV stuff works. At least these sort of reality shows, that's how those work.
Do you prefer working on television and movies, or do you prefer video games?
Well, that's a good question. I had a blast working on Strider. I think, and I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb that said if I could only do games, I probably would.
Yeah.
But you know, but film is my bread and butter, man. It's where I started, and it's where I sort of am finding my most traction right now. So, you know, I kind of admire the composers that do a little bit of everything. You know, there's this guy out here in L.A. Called Christopher Lennertz, and you guys may know him. He works on all these big, you know, AAA titles and things like that. And he's got a TV show. He does Revolution on NBC or whatever. You know, he does these comedy movies, and he's doing games. So I admire somebody like that who can kind of find, you know, find time for everything.
In your industry, you know, the difference kind of between, you said, being a rock and roller is that now you're kind of like, you're a suit and tie kind of guy. You got people that you have to appease. Is there ever been times where you've been asked to work on a project and you're just thinking, man, I don't want to make a track for, you know, My Little Pony or you know, and then that makes the job harder? Or do you genuinely like?
I'm a brony, man, so I can't.
No, ooh,
I'm
just, ooh.
Wow.
Just playing. No, I mean that. The trick is to find inspiration in, you know, from anything, you know, in the project. I mean, I generally don't take on a project unless it's really interesting, unless it's got some sort of core value. Like in a film, you know, I always read the script first, because if it's a good story, you know, even if the shooting or the cinematography isn't there, the story's going to really, you know, nail you. So I try and find something, or, you know, consequently the opposite. You know, if the story's not quite there, but hey, it's a really cool sort of guerrilla filming style director, you know, or if it's a new project, you know, like I try and find a little bit of nugget of inspiration in everything, and that gets me through. And if I can't find that, then it's really not a project I should be working on.
When Michael John Mahlo is putting his head on his pillow at night and he goes to dreamland, what is the fantasy project that you get called to do?
Oh, wow. That's a really unique question. I haven't haven't really thought about that. Well, so my ideal project.
Is there like a specific film series you'd like to work on, or specific other composers you haven't collaborated with already that you'd like to work with?
The Avengers 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that would be nice from a checkbook standpoint. But I don't know. You know, I've worked with a lot of really talented guys. You know, John Powell, I've worked with him for 4 years, and that's where we did How to Train Your Dragon and Rio and The Lorax. I would say before I worked with him that he was the guy that I wanted to work with, which was totally cool. And that was after I had come out of remote with Hans Zimmer and those guys. Tremendous learning experience. But I would say if I could work on anything, I would probably want to work with Steve Jablonski. He does Transformers.
Okay.
And he just did Ender's Game. Mm. And you know, my wife and I we're readers. We like to read, and I read some fantasy stuff and whatever. I'd probably like to work with Steve on some of his movies.
One of my favorite questions, because we get a lot of composers thrown our way, and it just kind of happened that way. And so I've been paying a lot more attention to the music. And is there anything that you think in modern composing for video games specifically that's a motif that's overdone by a lot of composers in the game industry?
Well, I mean, you know, far be it from me to speak ill of my colleagues, but I mean, there are some things that we all do that, you know, the demand on a game composer is you really have to make music that's elastic. You know, it has to work in very different in-game states. You know, you need your low-level action or your low-level sort of wandering around music, and then you need your, like, shit, I'm getting close to the bad guy music, and then you need your heavy-hitting, you know, wow, I'm really gonna, you know, fight this dude kind of music. And a lot of the times, it's got to be the same track, because so it all sort of weaves together. So, yeah, there are techniques that we all kind of do to, you know, to amp things up. You know, when things start getting spooky, you know, the bass comes in a little bit heavier, and the percussion, you know, kicks up. And it doesn't make it formulaic, so to speak. But, I mean, those are just techniques that, I don't know, emotionally, whether in your films or games, it's something that you do. I mean, look at you know, Game of Thrones or whatever, and Ramin Djawadi, who does the music for there. He's got a great palette, right? He's got a actually, he's got a really good musical voice as well. But in the way that it works in that film is, you know, when you get into the fighting scenes, you're going to hear, you know, some of those same drums that you heard in the last fighting scene. You know, doesn't mean that the music is exactly the same, but we use these kind of tools, and I think we all sort of use them similarly.
Do you like to just stack up on music between projects? So, like, if you have one, you'll be like, oh, I have the perfect sound for this one. Or do you just kind of come off the cuff each project that comes to you, though?
Well, you know, I try and develop you know, we work in the computer, so it's we develop templates with our sounds in them. Mm-hmm. So I like to spend a good deal of time trying to create new sounds for each project, just trying to get everything to sound a little bit different. You know, I would like to look at, like, the 2013 projects that I did, and I would love to know that those all sound different, you know. So I'll spend a day, 2 days, sometimes even 3 days, you know, picking sounds for the project. And those, you know, that's what I'm talking about, like the synth stuff and percussion stuff and effects stuff. When we're working with the orchestra, I mean, the orchestra is the orchestra. And, you know, you can use different techniques to get different sounds out of them. But, you know, when you're working on something that's, you know, supposed to be symphonic, you know, a symphony sounds like a symphony. But, you know, but that said, you know, a Mahler symphony definitely sounds different than a Shostakovich or Beethoven symphony. So
I was wondering, so when it comes to, like, doing the composing, you know, doing the programming and all that type of stuff, what would you say is your biggest challenge on each of your projects, or does it vary depending on what you're doing the track for?
You know, each medium, film, TV, games, has a different set of technical requirements for what we need to deliver. You know, like on a film, you're generally delivering each individual cue, and, you know, you're delivering it to the final mix, you know, in all these different sort of, you know, stems. So you'll send them the brass separate and the string separate and all that. So there's technical requirements. But I was challenged on the game because it was my first game, and I don't actually have the computer science background that some of these game audio guys have to really work with the implementation of the music in the game. So I was really, really fortunate, though, on Strider to have a guy over at Double Helix who was running and implementing all the sounds. Basically, I would send him these big, giant Pro Tools sessions, and he would wrangle them and get them into the game. So for me, you know, moving forward, forward, especially in the game industry, you know, those are some skills that I'm gonna have to sort of put, you know, wrap my head around and really get used to getting the music implemented into the game, because I think it would help with the creative process as well.
You mentioned that this was kind of your first major project in the video games, being Strider, and it seems like it was a very successful outing with Double Helix. Is there any future Double Helix projects that you have in the works?
I'm going to say yes, that they are consistently working. They just, you know, they're working on Killer Instinct too, right?
Yeah.
I think they just released Fulgore. I think he just came out, right? You know, and they just got bought by Amazon. So there are some internal things going on. They are working on some new stuff. You know, I'm not at liberty to really discuss it. But
oh,
yes,
come
those,
on. No,
those guys were fantastic. And they were, you know, they were really patient with me in, you know, guiding me to really create this soundtrack. And I look forward to working with them again.
Well, to me, it seems like Double Helix found their really good niche of taking a classic, almost forgotten about game and really revamping it. Not, and anybody can just do a remake, but they do more than a remake. Like, the game plays pretty much true to the original, but better.
That is thankful to the design director, Tony Barnes. You know, he was adamant every single step of the way that this new game feel like classic Strider. I mean, the art is updated and the sound is updated, and even the gameplay and some of the things you can do with the different ciphers and the kunai that you can throw and everything, but it still really feels like Strider. And that was it's been his baby. I mean, and he'd been working on it for forever.
We've talked about it on this very show, like how good Double Helix did with Strider, how good they did with Killer Instinct, and we've made fantasy lists of games we'd like to see them, you know, resurrect from the ashes. Being a gamer yourself, is there any childhood games, games of past that you think Double Helix should, if you could slip a note to Mr.
Right.
Barnes?
Right, right. If I have absolutely no pull, but if I did have pull, I would probably say, I would say Mega Man. I mean, while we're working with Capcom, we got to do Mega Man.
Wow.
I would probably say, I mean, call me crazy, but I would love an updated Rampage.
Rampage, yes. That would be awesome. And then now, if they did do those, would you, like Mega Man would be another iconic soundtrack. Is that something would you tackle that? Like,
I would sink my teeth into that. Love that.
You wouldn't be afraid of that backlash, because you know, especially in the Mega Man fandom, they're going to critique.
No, people be crazy. Absolutely. I mean, but I felt that way with Strider too. When you know, they pulled me in and I went into my first meeting with them and I had no idea what the project was. And then they told me and I was like, oh, you know, people feel really strong about this, you know. And then they showed me the artwork and they showed me, like, they had this huge map of the whole world, basically on this, you know, it was giant. It was probably 30 feet wide and they had all this stuff to show me and they were really pumped up and really excited about it. I'm like, all right, if you guys are taking this step, then I'll take it with you. I'll drink the Kool-Aid.
Well, I think it was a perfect match bringing you in. You complimented you stayed true to the original, brought it into the new age. And if they do another more of these reboots, I'd be more than happy to have you do it if I was doing that casting. Any questions from the rest of you guys?
He has definitely answered all mine.
You were satisfied, Mr. Carter?
I was definitely satisfied.
Thank you, Mr. Carter.
Not an easy task.
Not an easy task to satisfy Aaron Carter.
You got the seal of approval, sir.
Awesome.
David Ng.
Yeah, I think you answered most of my questions before they even came up.
Jada Pickett Rena.
Last one. So what was your favorite work that you've done?
My favorite thing that I've done so far, I would say the most interesting was probably working on How to Train Your Dragon. You know, we did a lot of, we were on that project for quite a long time, and we did a lot of sort of creating of new sounds for it, and that was really a pleasure. You know, we sampled 15 bagpipe players at Sony Studios, and it was literally the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life. I had to go in the other room. But doing stuff like that, coming up with creative new textures and creative new sounds. And, you know, John, who supervised and wrote, you know, the score, he was nominated for an Academy Award for it. And I think it was, you know, a good representation of his work. And I'd say of anything, that's the thing that I'm most proud of to be a part of. Awesome. But of course, Strider. Of course, Strider.
Strider right now. And then next week, it'll be Mega Man.
Right.
So, Michael, go ahead and tell everybody who's listening here where they could find you on the social medias, where they could learn more about you.
Oh, you know, I do the social media. So if you go into Facebook and just type in Michael John Mollo, basically a Google search of me, and it'll take you to all the things you need to know. Twitter, I'm at Mollo VG, M-O-L-L-O-V-G on Facebook. I think I've got a Pinterest.
Also, do you want me to edit that out?
My website, you know, it's www.michaeljohnmollo.com, and it's got sort of audio and stuff from all the different projects I've done, and, you know, you can read about me and then, you know, give me a call.
And any chances of putting together that rock band just for the heck of it?
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, everybody, you heard it here first, or probably not first, but Michael John Mollo, check it out, Strider on Xbox One, PlayStation 4. It's on the 360 and the PS3, right?
That's right.
It's on all those things. There's no excuse not to buy this game. And, John, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, man. Take care.
All right. That was a great interview, if I do say so myself. What do you guys think?
Awesome.
Awesome.
I was very pleased with it.
All that for just awesome.
Yeah, I have to build up. I like to build suspense.
Aaron can't build a lot of things, but he can build suspense. So we talked about Goat Simulator. We're going to move on down, finish up our news stories for you this week. Elder Scrolls Online announced its full voice cast, and there are some whoppers on there.
Yeah, all these names actually are really big.
I don't know who John Cleese is.
John Cleese, you would know him maybe as was he the crazy old rich guy in the reboot of Rat Race?
He was Q.
I know. He's the one with the parrot. That's right. On Monty Python, he does a skit where he tries to return the dead parrot to the shopkeeper.
He does the Ministry of Silly Walks also.
Oh, really?
I think that was him originally.
Big name on here, but I don't think I could pick her voice out of a lineup, would be Kate Beckinsale.
She plays the vampire in Elder Scrolls.
Underworld, yeah. Kate Beckinsale, Stone Cold Fox. She was ranked number one in the Nerd Reactor list of top 10 women we'd like to be our Valentines.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to see that list, actually, now.
You didn't look at the list?
I don't remember that.
I remember voting on the list, but I think it passed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kate Beckinsale, Bill. I just call him Bill Nye, by the way it's spelled. But
yeah, I think that's how you say it.
I think
it.
That really? Is, yeah.
Yeah.
Bill Nye, not the science guy, the guy from Shaun of the Dead.
I was really.
He's also in Underworld.
I was really reading this, like, when was Bill Nye in Shaun of the Dead?
Peter Stomar. Do you know who that is, Aaron?
The generic Russian guy.
No. Shut up.
I don't know.
I love Peter Stomar.
What? He plays, like, Russian characters in a lot of his
he
films.
He does, true.
What,
he was John Abruzzi in Prison Break.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're correct.
Yeah.
You're correct, Gondo.
He was the
generic Russian guy one.
He was the German nihilist in The Big Lebowski.
He opens the door for European actors to play stereotypical European actors.
Yeah. But he has a notable voice. I think he's going to do great. You talked about John Cleese. Linda Carter, the original Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
As long as she turns around in the Wonder
Just
Woman
a little
suit.
Spin tornado move.
Exactly.
She is a Stone Cold Fox even at like 70 or however old she is.
I'm not sure how old she is, but yeah, she looks really good.
372.
Really
good. 300. She's
a vampire. Yeah, we're tying everything back to vampire. She's a vampire. And Malcolm McDowell, whose voice is also very awesome.
He's the one that owns the chain of McDowell's restaurants, right?
Does he? Does he really?
With the golden arcs?
Yes, with the golden arcs.
Not instead of the golden arches. Yeah.
McDowell's.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That one passed me. Was that a viral
really?
Video or something?
Oh, my gosh. You are fired so big.
What is it from?
I'm not even going to tell you. I'm not even going to tell you. Nope. You're going to have to do your research on that one.
I really just knew him from Heroes.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry.
No.
Sorry.
He,
Tank Girl.
He made McDonald's has the Big Mac. He has the Big Mick.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what this is from.
McDonald's has two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. His? No seeds on his bun.
Wow. What is this from?
You're going to have to do your research. McDowell's, everybody.
Terrible.
McDowell's.
I just know him as Linderman.
My favorite.
Yes, one of our favorite movies.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. I have it.
It takes place in Queens.
Oh, my gosh. Next. Next, is you're fired.
It's an Eddie Murphy movie?
Yes.
Okay. Coming to America?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on.
I don't even know who Michael McDowell is, but yeah. I know who Mr. McDowell. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Wow.
New villain story and screenshots have been announced for Batman Arkham Knight. So they released a picture where he looks kind of like an Iron Man / Commando / Batman copy.
Ezreal?
What? Ezreal?
Yeah. Didn't he don the mantle of Batman when Bane broke his back?
Yeah,
and
there
he
was
had
that.
Like a little robotic looking.
He had the robotic look.
So
then, yeah.
when they announced him, they announced him as the Arkham Knight.
Oh, so then maybe he's just a new suit.
So it's either a new character,
Terry McGinnis, or something like that. I don't know.
That would be awesome
because that's what it kind of looked like—a futuristic Batman, right?
Someone in Nerd Reactor said Dick Grayson.
It kind of looked like some of the iterations of like the Batwing character in the comic books more recently.
The black guy?
Yeah, because like he's got the really big like Iron Man kind of suit.
Yeah, he does.
Thing.
And I didn't like it at all.
I think it's a little weird, but yeah. It's.
Wait, are you talking about the African guy or Lucius Fox's son?
I do not know. Oh, okay. I don't follow Batman comics.
Oh, okay.
I just look at the cover arts when I'm in the shop.
So Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and DC Entertainment have released new screenshots and artwork for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC title Arkham Knight. This will be the finale of the Batman Arkham trilogy by Rocksteady Studios. And they attached a pretty comprehensive bio. So basically, in the explosive finale to the Arkham series, Batman faces the ultimate threat against the city he is sworn to protect. The Scarecrow returns to unite an impressive roster of villains, including Penguin, Two-Face, Harley Quinn, to destroy the Dark Knight forever. And I guess one of the big selling points they're trying to go with is the fact that they finally, which should have been in the first game, made the Batmobile drivable.
I don't think it would have been possible in the first game. The first game is in an asylum. The second one's
in the first one, though. It's like in the little courtyard.
You have that little cut scene where you're driving.
Yeah, I want to drive it.
They could have.
We'd leave. The first thing we do is try and leave the prison.
Yeah, a lot of the Batman game is like jumping from rooftops, and like your Batmobile's not going to help you too much there.
Yeah.
I want to see some expanding out just outside of Arkham and outside of Gotham. Like, if we have the Batmobile, can we drive to Bloodhaven? Check out that area.
No.
Why not? It's just as bad as Gotham, isn't it?
You want GTA Gotham?
Yeah, exactly. Give me a huge map like that. So we have one, just like how GTA 5 has the big city and then has the little hick town. You can make Bloodhaven a little hick town.
So instead
of
doing movie franchises, they'll do game franchises. You can get different superheroes and then they'll unite them into one online server.
Didn't you come up with the $1 million idea to have one MMO character that can transfer through different MMOs?
Different worlds and games.
Boom. Yeah. You just made it right there. DC Extreme Universe. You make one hero, he goes to different universes.
People don't like to work that. I
hard.
Was going to say, like one of the reasons we were talking about Star Wars Galaxy not taking off is because it took a real human year, as Jerry liked to put it, to become a Jedi.
Which I thought, in theory, I thought was awesome.
Makes sense.
You want to flood the market with Jedis, because everybody wants to be a Jedi or a Sith.
Everyone wants to be a Jedi, so if you had that option at the start, it would just be Jedis all over the place.
And when you see a Jedi, you're like, holy crap, that person.
Oh, we know we got to run or something. Yeah.
No, it made sense in the Star Wars.
That person is 500 pounds.
Yeah, when people were complaining about that, I was just like, why? Like, that makes the game epic.
Excited for this one. Aaron, I don't think you've been purchasing the series. Will you jump
in
on
why?
This one?
Because I bought 1 and 2, and I played and beat 1 and 2, and I'm actually playing part 3 sporadically right now. But it's not
catching
my attention.
There was a part 3, but this says it's the trilogy.
It's
so they're just going to ignore Origin?
Yeah, because probably. Origin wasn't done by Rocksteady.
Yeah.
Somebody else, which is why it wasn't as high a caliber.
Yeah, it doesn't feel... I don't know. It's not.
It felt slower to me. There's too much going on. It's congested.
Yeah.
It's too much.
It's not grabbing me. That's exactly why I'm losing the console and PC race right now. It's, you know.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Let's see. How's everything? Let's start talking about personal life. Aaron, is there a woman yet? We're going to keep asking.
Special shout out to a special lady out there. She knows who she is.
Laura?
No.
No. Laura, if you fans remember her, call
her. No, if you remember Laura.
That means you're a true fan.
She's not listening at all. So that's why I send a shout out to this lady.
Oh. Well, tell,
is it your mother?
Tell your mom I said hi.
My mom listens to every show, as a matter of fact.
Why do those boys cuss so much?
She doesn't now. Nah. No? Nobody listens to this show. Come on.
Wow.
I could list.
At least three people?
Three people.
At least four people.
Let's see. Anything else to talk about, guys?
So I'm passing on Goat Simulator for Bear Simulator.
Wow. Oh,
check out Bear Simulator.
Bear Simulator. It's on Kickstarter.
If this starts to be the trend of just animal simulators.
It's Bear Skyrim.
Bear Skyrim?
That's really? what it looks like. Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair.
And I lost 12 pounds since last week.
Nice. Woo,
congratulations.
Yeah. Congrats.
Trying to win the Biggest Loser at work. Trying to get $100.
Now, did they weigh you in the beginning?
Yep.
Okay. So they have some point of reference. I don't know. For some reason, when he told me, he's like, I lost 10 pounds. I was like, did they weigh him in the beginning? Because I could just be like, I lost 30 pounds, guys. And suck it in the whole time. Grab the 100 and exhale and run.
Exhale. Too bad you can't get very far. I didn't train.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Video Game Bang. And as we like to say, game all day, bang all night.
We still not a
bad
one.
Yeah. We do not endorse that.
Need a new one.
We'll see you on the internet.
Let me bang again, man.
Now go fuck yourselves.